Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Down the Brass. That's just a reminder, we are having some issues with our WhatsApp. So I have WhatsApps up to 12:57. So I'll try to get through some of them as we continue through the 45 minutes left in the program. This one says, "Hi Corey, I've done exams all my life, accounting, designation, MBA, etc. I have always been prepared for whatever came my way. I've never heard of students preparing for a particular section of an exam that is just crazy and subject to failure," is what the writer says. Good afternoon and welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey.
How are you?
I am fine.
Long time.
Mm-hmm. Too long.
Yeah, I'm trying to reach you on your line, but I can't reach you over the last few weeks. I know you're busy.
No, you call. No, I know you're calling wrong number.
You are not wrong.
0091.
This
but you.
One number I have correct is yours.
All right. We can
now,
talk.
Corey, I'm hearing like persons calling in about things like reform, et cetera. And you know my stance on that.
Yep, you were
saying earlier that you had to actually study certain things for your exam, and I take it maybe common entrance. You meant. Things like
for both.
Crowds and so forth.
For CSC as well, too.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm speaking mainly, though, about common entrance, because that is where we are failing our children. When you have to study from 5 years old to 10 years old for a common entrance, supposedly for the end of your life, I personally, you know my stance on the common entrance. I do not agree with it. Because you had people calling in saying that it is time for reform. And I think the time has really gone. We need to get to it like yesterday. Reform. And reform does not only come, Corey, with people who work in the specific department. So let us say you are a landscaper. And I want to have something different in my surroundings, in my garden. I might not necessarily want to go with your idea because you're going with basically the run-of-the-mill idea. I might call somebody who has an out-of-box alternative. Am I right?
So far? Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And I am saying the time has come, Corey, in this country and education I'm speaking about. You need to bring persons to the table, not from the ministry. Hear what I'm saying. I am making no apologies about that. Where you can have different out-of-box alternatives and ideas to go forward, Corey.
But let me stop you right there, Sani, and tell you two things. One, the prescription drugs and more. The ministry have assured me they have a number of proposals coming in. I'm hearing something. Is that coming from you, Sani? Something is playing. Oh, don't worry. So they have a number of proposals with all this innovation and so on and so forth. And you would know that sometimes we have these files and they're sitting there. There's the recommendation. There's no implementation, et cetera, et cetera. We've passed that stage. We've gone past there far, long. You understand? So the time for that has not come. The time for that has passed. We've gone past that, right? What has to happen now, in my opinion, you still need these consultations with the public because we live in a democracy. But this is really, I believe these consultations should be about decision and consensus about which and where do we need to go for the 21st century and beyond. Okay, good. Now, if you bring in a set of consultants, people will cry out because they say, where your money came from, your friends are paid, blah, 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 right?
Not paid, right.
Now, you remember we spoke about a committee.
Exactly.
And I mentioned yourself, Peter. There was a lady that came here when we had a program, and it has to be wide because every education program we've had on this program, we recognize that education has so many components because we talk about plant, we talk about transportation, the disabled, testing for hearing and sight. And there's so many things to consider, and it should be a broad-based committee, not to sit tea and eat scones, but to get down to brass tacks, come up with some solid recommendations and the way how they will be implementing and have that reform unit implement them. This part will be done as of the 1st of September 2021. This part will be done April 2021, et cetera, et cetera. And have them implemented and tracked.
Timelines.
Correct. Timelines, deadlines. You understand? Outside of that, We are wasting time and spending talk in mud.
Listen to me. We are coming to the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I thought by now, even if it's early next year, we would have been having the discussion about common entrance
correct.
For next May.
No. Not common entrance, about the replacements of it. Be clear. No. We need to be clear on this one. The replacement of it.
I am not seeing Corey. And I, as I said, I'm speaking from my heart. All right? Mm-hmm. And I'm calling on heels because I teach boys and girls.
Sandy, you don't need to go over any of this. When people hear you say hello, they know where Sandy coming from.
That it is tearing me in my face.
Mm-hmm.
More so now that we had COVID.
Mm-hmm. All right? I think COVID may have been an excuse, but we did see the Thorne Commission continue their consultations via Zoom. And I think we need to do it. Sandy, I think beyond speaking on this program, and I said it, and I made myself available, the same Peter, I don't care if he in France, he was Zooming.
I like to talk to
yourself, Judy, the whole crew, all of us need to come together. And for the purpose of, keeping this in the front, keeping this in the forefront, and kind of advising, as you say, where we believe things should go. We should have teachers, parents, students, the whole hog. Not too big and unwieldy, but at the same time, keeping your issues and our issues in the front.
Stick a pin. I am saying to you, Corey, I hope that this is done and people like myself are called before we see God's face.
No, I'm calling you now. I'm calling you. We are waiting for the call from them because they may not call you. Do not sit down and wait.
And call me every day, Corey, about why would a child be in first form? Come through the system just out of comment. I cannot read. And you're calling me, Corey. You're the parent. I would like my child to be able to read.
Mm-hmm.
11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening? And I need an answer from the powers that be. Why, when children are now in first and second and third form, the parents have realized, mind you, they might have known that before, but what is the school system doing?
Nothing.
Whether it's learning support, remedial, to help those children. Four people.
I have people that know left school, fifth form and so on, and can't spell the middle name, can't spell the address. So that's a reality, right? Now, there was another student that I came across recently. He was in class four. So he went to the principal of the school. The principal now got moved to a different school. But he was telling me, yes, Corey, we are this. The child can't read or write. They didn't put him to do 11 plus. They just allocated him somewhere. And I said, what is the school doing when they said, listen, Corey, don't even start. There's an issue. They need remedial is a waste of time because they're too far back. We don't have the resources to do this and that. So you said, you asking what they're doing. I'm telling you no. They're doing nothing.
Oh,
when they get to class four, they would allocate them somewhere and they would fall through the cracks, the gaping holes, the wells, the canyons out there.
Corey,
if you want me pretty up, I can't.
I am really concerned about our youth in this country. Okay? And we continue to highlight high flyers, as your other caller said.
Mm-hmm.
What about the children who tried? What about the children who couldn't make it because of?
Mm-hmm.
What about those boys and girls who would like to but cannot? I am telling you, and it is coming home to me even more now this year,
mm-hmm.
because so many people call me with the same story. It's like a stuck tape.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey, something has
But let's do it. I pass this lamenting and gnashing of teeth.
People, government or people. Come the new year, if God grants me life, I am going to be getting up, okay, and doing something about it. I have five persons on my team, and we are going to be doing.
That's what we want here.
I am tired hearing this is going to be done, and in the meantime, you have another 1,000 girls and boys who have lost it.
Correct.
And I have to teach them how to say vowels and consonants at the age of 11.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair.
It's hurtful, that's true. When they come across it actually makes me feel very bad.
And Corey, if you have to sweep the streets today, you have to know how to be literate.
Correct.
You have to be literate.
Yeah,
and it affects
numeracy. Four CXCs for that. So we really put in our trust. But Sandy, enough talk. Let's meet, let's do.
I had to let out my steam.
Correct,
my
you're
passion
right. Correct.
Because, I deal with this every day of my life when I meet these girls and boys. And somebody has to be the voice for these either parents, grandparents, or these little girls and boys. And, Corey, I really am counting on you, right, to let us get going.
Mm-hmm.
I am very serious. This is the end of the year. Next month is the end of the year. I do not mm-hmm. want to start the new year. And we have not even put something, when I say at least initial plans in place.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot continue to have all the high flyers. We know, yes, there's a place for them, but what about the others? What about the others?
Sandy.
To be left behind, Corey.
Sandy, it is time for brass tacks.
But I will leave it there for you.
Thank you. It's 1:30 in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean. You are on the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 30 minutes before we strike up the band and head on home, a full board. We do the last set of WhatsApps here now. We say, listen, this body want to know why government of Barbados is putting visitors to the island in Dover, St. Lawrence Gap to quarantine. That is the number one place for nightlife. You're only tempting people who would want to be going out. Well, I don't know if the fines are tempting, but I saw some very hefty fines. So those persons listening, this is what you do. You stay inside and you listen to Down to Brass Tacks and VOB. This one says, I am appalled at these callers who are praising Donald Trump. If they lived here in the U.S., I don't think they'll be saying these things. Many people here are dying from COVID-19 and the president have not done anything about it. A lot of West Indian people have died here in the U.S. from COVID-19, also living in a place where you have to deal with racism on a constant basis is not easy. But then again, they would never know. Healthcare bills are through the roof. In Barbados, they get healthcare free, which they complain about. Well, I'm one Barbados living in the U.S. that voted for Biden, and I pray to God that he wins. This next one says, Corey, I know that roads across Barbados are a deplorable state, but the stretch across Lower Estate, which has been patched and patched over time. Drivers have lost tires. Pedestrians are now at the mercy of motorists swerving to avoid the potholes that have reopened. I am almost on bending knees begging for those in authority to urgently visit the area. Time to resurface and not patch. And there were some other messages there after the rain. They were saying a lot of potholes left across the place. And they want to know what's happening to our road tax collected through the pump. This one is calling for the representative of Christchurch South to come and visit the St. Lawrence area, which has been flooded for over 2 weeks. And they said they're not hearing from the assistant after calling and calling and calling. They want to know if you can't get anything done unless you feature it in the nation. So I guess we can also consider that. Let's get on to brass tacks. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon.
It's been a long time.
Definitely.
Just want to make my little contribution today.
Yes, please.
Now I want to say, dear Rihanna, you will not get this letter by AIR because they haven't got an address for you, but you'll get it by EAR. Now I want to thank you for your graciousness to us in Barbados over the years, and I want to make a request of you. You see, our hospital is in urgent, dire need of a machinery. It's called an MRI. And what I can tell you, it's so desperate. I had a stroke of fear. I hate to call myself, but I have to use a reference. I had an MRI. I had a stroke on the 30th of February this year, and the doctor requested an urgent MRI. The date given was a month later, on the 11th of March. So I've been there and I know what I'm talking about. So I'm asking you, Rihanna, if you could help us get an MRI machine. We need it urgently, and there, we are in dire need of patients who can bend this. Oh, sorry, when they sent me, said they were urgent, would be the 12th of the 11th. Of the next month, the doctor called my daughter, and I went over to Bell and had it done privately. Those who can afford an MRI, they do have theirs done. But the others who cannot afford it, I will never be able to afford it. They are suffering in pain, mentally, and, oh, what is this with me? They're afraid of what they don't know.
I heard the issue with you and the MRN. First of all, I want to say I'm very sorry for what you're going through. I can see your voice is way weaker than it used to be, and I would really like to see some improvement in your situation. And again, on behalf of all the people that need the medical care, the call to Rihanna or the Clara Lionel Foundation. If anyone is listening, anybody got Rihanna digits, can give her a call, a little WhatsApp message, or anybody out there, Robinson Smiles, or anybody. See Dennis pull out his phone. Yeah, he's messaging her. But in all seriousness, this is something that I believe that the QEH, the Ministry of Health, needs to not only speak to, but act upon. So, ma'am, let me just leave that there. I myself, I'm sending a message because I didn't follow up. I was hoping, I heard on this program at least two moderators calling out on the issue. I was hoping to hear somebody in officialdom. I don't know if I missed it, but I don't know if anybody called and responded to the whole issue of the MRI. I heard about parking. I heard about bed space. I want to hear and see action on the MRI. So any of the foundations listening that donate to Barbados, if that can be put on your list, if you could combine your forces, anything. Our government, who has the responsibility, what's happening with the MRI? Please, please, please. Someone here is also talking about government changing the numbers that start with 535 and 536, and you're not getting the old numbers are not recording to pass you on. So again, in that area, we need to look into there as well. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Somebody's telling me I missed it, and someone, they spoke about it. So I wasn't able to follow every day. But yeah, we need some action.
Good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, what do you think about the elections in the U.S. of
A? I think that is an election for me that made for television. That's the honest to God truth. Even how they report the numbers, you know, Florida and Texas, how it come in and go out, come in and go out. I think it is. I'm not saying it was purposely made so, maybe not. But I mean, the way how it is rolling out, it has the suspense. It is not a blowout. You know, a blowout is very boring. But the way how it is being done, I think, is very interesting.
And the timer, how the timer showing you the blue and the red.
Correct. It is very interesting. It is like one of those events. When you look at the reality of it, though, it says something completely different. It speaks to a lot of different things that we spoke about already for this morning. A lot of different issues, sentiments, et cetera, et cetera.
I tend to think it's going to be a close race. But you see, I have friends and relatives in New York, and from what I've been hearing, it's just not easy. Too much people are dying out there, and a lot of people are not taking the necessary precautionary methods with this school because they tend to think that this thing is really sport. And a lot of people are unemployed, and people got to line up and stuff. And some people say they would like to come back home and get a little breadfruit or a little yam and potato because nobody don't give you nothing over there, right? But I will hope that Joe get an opportunity to see what it's under his belt, you know, because things is really rough down there for a lot of people. Some people love to come back home.
The other thing is, I think we got a flag, and we need to flag it with all elections. No matter who you elect, there is no overnight, no magic wand. The thing with Trump, though, and the sentiment, why I don't speak to it directly is because I don't live there. But I speak on behalf of my friend Marlo, who came back here because of the fact that he felt as though he could not move around as he would like. He felt as though with the anti-immigrant sentiment, and not just illegal immigrant, because he was legal, or he is legal, he had to change his Barbados custom-made license plate and all these things because he started to face the threat of violence and all these things for immigrants. So when you think about it from that end, how it actually affected people that we know 1 or 2 degrees separated, it is definitely something that we have to keep our eye on and be concerned about because a number of us all have relatives in the United States of America. So thank you, ma'am. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Hey, bro.
How are you?
I am good. And you?
I'm wonderful.
All right, before you start, I'm hearing that Dr. Williams did say that the hospital pays for MRI scans for poor people. I obviously missed that. And again, with the MRI situation, I just hope that all the people who would need it can get it. Yes, go ahead, sir. Sorry about that.
It, you did speak to that from the hospital.
Yes, I missed it.
The whole question of the talk about the 11 plus and 11 plus and 11 plus. It is time that somebody that your caller two callers ago determined to stop talking and start some action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been hearing that conversation now ad infinitum.
Mm-hmm.
Yet nothing is happening. Nobody's saying, well, these are my ideas.
I want to help you. Take it or leave it. You got to stop talking only. You got to talk and. Because the only way to share ideas you got to talk and act. Correct. Correct. But I can help stop her because I plan to, and sometimes I feel really trapped. Hey, so why me? I gotta take up another cause, you know. But I can bring them people together. I have planned to do it through a radio series here we were doing. And I just can't really, it was too much. But now that they're looking at actual reform and it look like they actually can do something, I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to just curse the darkness. I want to help light the candle. So the same Sandy and Peter and all these other people who've been talking about this education for a while, I think their voice have to be part of the consultation of where we go as a nation. Yeah.
My boy, Wickham has been hitting that regular.
Yes, yes. And Jeff Brooms and all of them.
I want to ask you a question. I know you are, many moons ago, I used to be a very active person in the youth council and all those.
Okay, my brother.
Across Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
I represented the youth, Barbados Youth Council in Manchester. You were assembling youth conferences and things like that.
That's the only thing I didn't do. I was in youth part of youth council, but I used to get a lot of the local meetings, right? Everybody used to go to the overseas meetings. I left me here.
Well,
go ahead.
I wonder what's happening. I know that the whole paradigm has been shifted so that young people nowadays, they don't have many youth groups across Barbados.
That's true.
In those days. But based on the whole question of the technology and things like that, the paradigm could shift, but you can still have youth organizations. And now we're trying to do that in the 4-H. We try to do certain things in the 4-H to encourage the young people to do things with their hands. And
There's still youth groups. A lot of them form themselves as church groups, sports groups, and so on. But you see, as time moved, and school is mandatory, but school became a little arcade, but it was mandatory. So you go. The youth groups became arcade, but they were voluntary. So that's one of the reasons they fall up to my mind. They didn't reinvent themselves as time moved on.
Well,
the problem with the youth groups, too, at the national level, I mean, you could get vexed by yourself for telling the truth or not. It became too politicized. So a lot of them saw it as a stepping stone. Yesterday, they had a little bit of it, but not as much as you have now. You actually have youth parties as opposed to youth movement at a national level. I could tell you because I saw some things, man.
When you impose youth organizations on people, it does not work. It has to emerge. You have to keep it growing. Yes, but it has to emerge. Every time government get involved in those kind of things, they die a natural death. They get too much politics get involved in these things, and therefore that is one of the major challenges you have in terms of youth organizations across Barbados helping to change the whole dynamics of crime and violence and whatever happens among young people. Because I heard a comment once on the radio that said that 30% of the young, 70-some percent of people inmates at the guards are only age 30.
I went any high number they give me, I went down. That's the truth. Because I told when I was last there, the bus that used to come in to bring them from court, if it didn't have a different color, you would think it's a school bus. I'm telling you.
The other thing I want to ask you, because you're a man in business there now. Based on why you were calling today, maybe you can't spell the names and any of that. How much is that? Are you seeing that as an effect on persons? Moving to crime?
Yes. No two ways about it. You see, if I can reason with you, we talk so we don't fight, is the mantra of international relations, right? And it is the mantra of underground relations too. If I could talk, we could talk. If I can't talk, I can cast you, we can fight and kill you. It's very simple. I'm making it a little simplistic, but it is very closely related to what happened. And that's where you see a high level of illiteracy and so on in places like prisons across the world.
Yeah, so I mean, so we have to be. In other words, we have to be our brother's keeper. When I see somebody you have to try and talk and empathize with the person with these young people. Because it doesn't make sense, as you were saying this morning, a guy, you know, a guy at class four can even write a capital A. Something should happen in your class, from infants to class four.
I am sure some schools have ways to respond to it, but the schools that I spoke to personally, and I talked about like 2 months ago, said, listen, they just, y'all could talk, y'all could get and talk. If they just send the resources, they ain't got the time for it. So you got to concentrate on the ones that can learn, and they can fall through the cracks. Now, that may be the truth, right? But then we have to now come up with a way, because this is not money spent on. This is an investment in the future and these children, because we got to look at, they're in school, so we're spending money on supervision for them. A lot of investment goes into them. And then at the end of the day, when you look at them getting involved in crime, and you got that $59,000 a year you would spend on that, the $36,000 a year in prison, the fact that they could destroy our reputation and our source market for tourism and international business, and the list goes on. It is not cheap what they do and what we do to them. They are victims before they become criminals. And a lot of people don't like to acknowledge them, but they're victims of the system before they become criminals to the system. It's 9 minutes before two. There are no more turns in this Down to Brass Tats, and the lines are going. Dennis, these people don't know it's 9 minutes to two. Brass Tats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, man, long time. You are on, Mr. Thanks. How are you going?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you, sir. I hope that you and the rest of your family and rest of management and staff are doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, very quickly. You there?
I'm there. I'm here.
Very, very quickly. Good evening to Mr. Vickham, too.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, with this COVID-19 pandemic which has gripped the world, sir, I hear thinking that next month, which will be the festive season, you know, it is going to be very difficult and a challenge for government in Barbados, the Caribbean, and the rest of the world. You know, because you know that with Christmas shopping, it is not going to be easy. So it is going to be very, very difficult and challenging for the government in the Caribbean and around the world, you know, to cope with this COVID-19 thing, you know. So I don't know how they are going to manage, but I am hoping for the best. I don't know if you understand or get where you're coming from, sir.
I get where you're coming from. It's very difficult. And the thing is truly global. Like, it's reached every corner of the globe, and it's affected us in so many ways. It isn't funny. It isn't just health. It goes beyond health. It goes to the mental, the psychological, the financial. It has affected us in every aspect of life.
Yes, that's right, sir. And what they say, sir, not crossing you, even now, some people are coping with it. Well, they say adhering to the protocols, but some people aren't. And right now, you still get a lot of crowding and things, because even in the bus stand, sir, if you hear the call, passengers for boarding for destination X, you know, everybody, the thing is, I want to get one. You know, so you see, that is a problem in itself. People are not adhering to the 3-foot protocol. And I mean, when you see December come, like the early December, the first week, the second week, and even 3 or 4 days before the Christmas, I know it is going to be pandemic, you know. So I'm only hoping now that the government will find a way to see if they can get something controlled. But at the same time, still not the 5 people from doing the Christmas shopping. That's all I want to say. So,
just one question before you go, because I want to wrap up with some messages I have here quickly. But in terms of personally, you, how has COVID affected you? How have you made it through COVID?
Well, sir, first thing I must say, I try to follow all the protocols.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to congratulate the Prime Minister, the Minister of Health, even the gentleman that you just called, the Czar, I forgot his name now.
Ms. Carter.
People, I think that Barbados has done the government of Barbados and the people have done extremely well, and they deserve a pat on the back. And I believe if some other countries were as fortunate as we are now, not boasting, I think that this COVID would have been reduced by about, let me say, 70%. You know? So I try to cope with it, and I would urge other people to do the same, and I want to congratulate the government, the health minister, the Honorable Mr. Jeffrey Bostick, and others for doing a splendid job so far. Well done.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. No.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Good. All right. Just in closing, there was a number of messages sent today in relation to the Water Authority and Leyton Power, and I would have sent them on to persons I know in there and have gotten responses already. And for these utility companies and other companies, one of the things I would like to wrap up, kind of putting the, you know, positivity and action-based positivity for the people out there, to advise that y'all could come and have these WhatsApp groups that people could actually, if you can't, people answer any question, you can send messages and get them responded to in a timely fashion, but it may not take as much time as a telephone call where you're going back and forth all the time. The other one here is from, where did that go? In relation to the CHC, a lot of people are saying they're glad that Sarah's call may reignite the attention of the whole debacle. And one of the things they recognize, it went off of the table. And I too, I must admit, and a lot of the other callers and persons who would have chatted here, said they thought that it had been resolved when they heard that a report came out. So again, that is one that may highlight it. And a lot of talk about roads again, where people like to see the roads not being dug up to lay water pipes, and when the rainfall, that the road does not disappear. So with that said, I want to take this opportunity to thank my producer and technical operator who would have taken us through the program without a glitch. And also thank my colleague Peter Wickham for starting us off with all things political. Thank those on the chat, those on the WhatsApp, those who call, and especially those who listen and advertise on this Down the Brass Stats program. I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lane. Do enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Do enjoy the rest of your week.